Blog Talk Radio.
Let's kick this bad boy up like we always do this.
You know, and like I said, if you look at my highlight films, you will always notice that it always starts off with the kickoff. And the mentality is to kick it as far as we can and get them inside the 20-yard line. And in actuality, we've done that more times than not, you know, because, again, that is our goal as a team. That is our goal as a defense and special teams, is to kick that ball and kick it deep. So, again, let's go ahead and kick this bad boy off.
And it's deep.
It's deep, because that's all we talk about here is women's football. We deep like that. That's all we talk about is women's football. So let's get up with this quarter number one. Playing time in practice. Man, have I got a bunch of emails on that one. Because I guess apparently I've been talking lately about what we do as a showgirl. So, again, I always use myself as an example of, you know, I just don't talk the talk. I walk the walk. And I got a couple of emails from players and coaches asking me once again, you know, what's going on with you guys? Do you guys have people missing practice? I'm like, yep. Yes, we do. You would think that we were 0-5 instead of 5-0 some weeks and some days. But you know what? Like I tell everybody, life is life. And you got to understand that, hey, you made a commitment to the team, and these are the rules and regulations, no matter who you are, how good you are, or if you're needed or not needed on the team. The fact is, you made that commitment to be a part of the team, and we're going to lay down the rules, and we're going to follow the rules. And I've been one who followed our rules. You know, like I said, these are showgirl rules. And, you know, you can take them if you want to. You don't have to if you don't have to. But it tends to work. It sends the message that we're going to get it done with or without you. But basically this, we practice, again, 3 days a week, 2 hours a day, okay, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, from 7:30 to 9:30. You don't have to be there no earlier. You don't have to stay no later. I'm there early. I am there late for those who want to learn and carry on. But the fact is, you got to be there. Now, how does that relate to the game? Again, you know, life is life, and I understand that. So if you miss a practice during the week, you are guaranteed that you will not start the game. Doesn't mean you're just going to sit out one play and then go in there. No. You're going to sit out at least a series. So if you're an offensive starter, you're going to miss an offensive series. If you're a defensive starter, you're going to miss defense. If you play special teams, guess what? You can't play special teams either. And I had my leading wide receiver, and she's my free safety. She missed practice this week because she had something that went down, came up, that she had to go to, which is fine. But she had to sit out on offense, and she had to sit out on special teams and defense for one complete series. So, again, you're not going to get in the game. Now, it's not guaranteed that you're going to get in the game after you set out that one series. If the girl in front of you is doing her job, you might have lost your starting job because you missed practice. You know, so all my players take advantage of that. If somebody missed and you were behind them, you start, you don't mess up, you don't come out. All right, that's missing one practice, missing two practices. You're definitely going to sit out the whole first quarter. And again, it ain't guaranteed you're going to get in the game, but you're going to miss the whole first quarter because you missed two practices. And if you miss three practices for the whole week, you're definitely not playing a whole half. And we stick to it. Now, just to let you know, I have not started my starting defense not one game this season. I'm talking about all 11. I have not started my whole offense this whole season. That means all 11 starters, and let alone special teams. You know, it gives me a headache because I'm 10 minutes before the doggone game, and I'm scrambling, going over my list, like, why this person missed practice, this person missed practice, and who showed up, who's here, what. It gives me a headache. And matter of fact, this weekend I got very upset in the locker room prior to the game because I told them it was bullcrap. Why am I going down the list of like who should be starting because people missing practice? So I told them, we're going to grow up today. You guys are going to be young ladies after today. You know, it's like if I was coaching the men. You're going to be men after this doggone game, you know. The same thing with the women. I don't want to hear nobody bitching, nobody complaining. You know the rules. You sit your butt on the bench. When you called, you come and play. If you haven't been caught, you better have your helmet on and you better be cheering on our team as you be out there. If you don't like it, step. God just told him just like that. You know, we ain't got time for that. You know, we 5-0. We ain't got time for the drama. Either you come here to play football or you're not. Okay? You going to follow the rules or you're not. You know? And some teams out there, like I said, they've heard the rules that I talked about and felt that they don't have enough players. I said, what would you do if you was at a high school? What would you do if you were coaching Pop Warner football or college football? It's the same mentality. The coach is going to just replace whoever. You know, so what? My superstar is gone. I'm going to build with players. And it leads to wins. It builds confidence. It builds a lot of stuff. But if you stick to your rules, then you will never be, how would I put it? Oh, wow, I just lost it. I'm going to be turning 40 in 3 weeks. My bad. I had a 40 moment. I had a thought, and it just went right out my ear and out my brain and wherever it went. But the fact is, you stick to your rules. You win by your rules, you lose by your rules. But you're going to be, I just use the word respected, because you're following the rules. You're not going to be a favoritism or favoritism this person or whatever, whatever. You're going to be respected for, you know, honoring your word. And that's one thing that I definitely do. You know, I honor my word. When I say something, it's going to get done. And we're going to do it that way. Now I got the girls believing. It don't matter who we have. If it's not our starting quarterback, we put our second-string quarterback. If it's not our starting wide receiver, we put in our next best wide receiver. If it's not the starting linebacker, we put in another. It don't matter, you guys. If everybody do their job, we win as 11. We don't win as one. We win as 11 out on the field, as a team, you know. And, of course, you got some smart out there. You know, a coach might say there's no I in team, but you would hear somebody say, well, there's a me in team. I heard that one this weekend. I had to laugh at that. But anyway, again, playing time and practice. But think about it. We got a lot of upsets this weekend. But I can guarantee you this right now. Guarantee you this, that every team out there is missing players at practice. There's coaches that are pissed off because they can't get their stuff done because people are missing practice. And you ladies don't understand. Football is a group thing. It's a practice thing. You got to be there in order for you to get better. You can't show up to the game, because I know this happens too. You got 9, 14, 16 players showing up to practice throughout the week, you know, one day or another. You might have 20, but it'd be a different 20 every practice, you know. And then all of a sudden games show up, you got all 42 people, or all 45, or all 50, or however many. They show up before you even supposed to be there. They're there early, all getting taped up, looking nice, looking sweet, you know. But you got to lay the rules down. You've got to lay the rules down. And hey, I'd rather take that solid 17 that come to practice, that solid 20 that come to practice and just play those 20 than have 5 superstars not make it to practice. I'm going to win anyway because it's about the scheme and playing together is how we're going to win. No, we're not going to have the super speed. But hey, I got to adjust my agenda as far as what we can do with what we got. That's what makes a good coach. You got to be able to do that. You know, so again, I know I'm rumbling, but, you know, that's one of my sticklers rules. I just hate it. And then, you know, then you ladies use it as an excuse. You know, well, you know what? The coaches got excuses, too. You know, they can't be there. They got family. They work. They just as tired, if not tired. I know I am. You know, personally, I do films. I do the marketing. What else? I'm a promoter. I'm the coach, the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, the special teams coordinator. I sound like I'm Jamaican or something like that because I got many jobs, man. You know what I'm saying? But I don't use that as an excuse. My motto is an excuse is like a butthole. Everybody has one. But you know what? It's those who keep on pushing that make things happen, and that's my middle name, Deion Make It Happen Lee. There it is, Coach Lee. You in the place to be rocking 4 quarters here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm still going to stick on this topic. You know, I'm just rolling right now. But it is key. I can guarantee you this. The teams that lost this weekend, look at how many people came to practice this week. Look at how many people came to practice. And I'll guarantee you, if you didn't have over 50% of those players come to practice, you lost. 50% of your roster wasn't there, I guarantee you lost. I can even go up to if you even had a 70 to 75% ratio of your players who made it to practice, you probably lost this weekend. I don't care if you were undefeated or you were the best of the best. I bet you lost because you did not come to practice. And, you know, I talk to a lot of coaches out there. I have coaches that email me like, how do you do it, man? I can't deal with it. I'm not used to this. You know, first of all, there's women. I'm not used to coaching women. Second of all, I'm not used to football players not coming to practice. Third of all, I'm not used to football players questioning everything that I do as a coach like I don't know how to coach. Ladies, football culture is this. You play the game. You do as you are told. That's it. That's football. From the age 4 to the age of 26 that I played, that was it. You didn't talk back. You didn't talk smack. You might be mumbling, and this coach might be dumb as, you know, a bump on a rabbit's butt. But you didn't confront that coach. You did what the coach asked you to do. Trust me. If that coach is no good, the schemes that he put together or she put together and you guys execute them and they don't work, then that's not a good coach. But if you're not even giving the coaches a chance, I've gotten phone calls from players. Coach Lee, do you run your girls as hard? Yes, it's called football. Coach Lee, do y'all hit in practice? Yes, it's called football. You know, I've had coaches call and tell me that, you know, we treat you guys like football players, and then all of a sudden you want to throw that, well, I'm a lady or I'm a girl. You know, it's bad enough that the male coaches have to watch what they say, you know. And I make it a point that I don't say anything disrespectful, but I just give you a simple example of how the culture is different than coaching men's or boys' football. I can say, all right, let's go. Let's do some exercise. All right, here we go. Spread our legs. Yeah, see, that don't even sound right. Do it. But that's natural on the football field. But when you out there with 30, 45 women, that's not the thing to say. So instead of saying that, you got to say feet apart. So you got to change your vocabulary. So I think a lot of coaches are learning that. They're understanding that. But you can't be on the other side cursing like a sailor and saying all these other derogatory things towards each other, and then when the man says something, and all of a sudden, I'm getting off the topic a little bit. I know it was playing time in practice, but this was one of the emails that tied into this playing time in practice, okay? So how can somebody respect you if you don't respect yourself? You know, like I said, our motto with the Showgirls, we're classy and not assy or trashy. That's how we do it. Again, we're classy, not assy or trashy. Okay? So again, it goes back into playing time. It goes back into the practice. I'm tying it back in. There's coaches that you're just not going to like. But guess what? That's part of football. Coaches aren't here to be liked. They're here to get the job done. Your job is to get it done by any means. You know, I've had players tell me that certain coaches yell at them, and they don't like that. Hey, it's football. You're going to get yelled at. Don't take it personal. It's all business on the field. Now, there's some coaches that overdo it, yes. You know, it's just like being a parent. If you yell every day at your child about doing something, you think they're going to just get you, so there go daddy again, just yelling his little head off. But you know what? The best technique that I found out is just be quiet and give them the stare down. They understand. If I don't say nothing to you, then I'm really pissed off. You're more afraid of me because I'm quiet than me yelling at you. But yes. Some coaches got to tone it down. Yes, I understand that. But, ladies, you can't take it personal. That can't be your excuse for not coming to practice. I don't like this coach. I don't know many coaches that I ever liked, to be honest, outside of my position coach. I was always glad I didn't play for that guy, especially if you're a lineman. I think every line coach yells. Every line coach yells. You know, is it the best way to motivate women? No, not necessarily. But the fact is, you can't use that as a crutch and not show up to practice. I sound like Irishman. Practice. It's just practice. Yeah, in any other sport, it's just practice. But in football, it is the guidance to what's going and the determination of what's going to happen on Saturday. That's why you hear coaches always say in football, you play like you practice. If you're terrible in practice, you're going to be terrible in the game. If you don't execute in practice, you're not going to execute in the game. That's the motto of football. Understand that. Get your lazy butt up and get out there, deal with it for 2 hours, and then get back to what you got to do. Everybody's working. Everybody got family. Everybody got kids. Everybody got bills to pay. Everybody's struggling. And football should be your outlet. That should be your release. Come out there and get your aggression on and then leave. But teams aren't going to get better unless you what? Practice. So make sure you practice. Because you're getting the playoff time, and if your butt ain't making it to practice, we ain't going to the championship. Every coach knows that. You can't be missing people, and you're going to the playoffs supposed to be playing the best of the best. You know, some of you guys think because you're good athletes, but it works out sometimes. Because you're a better athlete than the other team, you're going to beat them. 9 times out of 10, you will. But that one time that you don't, it's going to be during the playoffs or during the championship game because you missed practice. Moving on. Woo! Quarter number 2. Stats. Padding stats or running up the stats. However you want to call it, however you want to see it. It may be done and it might not be done. But boy, you got to get the stats in. Because you know why? It's football. And when you're talking about football, you're talking about stats. What you're doing and what you ain't doing. How you're doing it and how it ain't being done is related to stats. Now, there's some teams that, hey, they might got a limited number of people, and they're up 50 to nothing, and they just, well, that's what we call padding the stats, where they just feeding their best running back 25, 35, 45 times a game. And running 60-yard, 80-yard touchdowns because they want to pad up the stats. They want all-star players. They make it an individual thing. You know, is anything wrong with it? No. It just happens. You know, but can it be something done about it? Yes. Give somebody else an opportunity to do. You know, and the reason why I come over with this topic is because this particular weekend, Nikki Johnson, matter of fact, I just throw that out there. Nikki Johnson is one of my young, bright stars, future stars coming up. She scored 6 touchdowns this game. I didn't even realize she scored 6 touchdowns, to be honest, throughout the game. And we won 48-8. So she didn't score all of them. She scored, what, 6 of the 7. But I wasn't even keeping stats, because I don't keep stats on the field anyway. I do stats after the game as I watch film because film don't lie. Okay? But it was I was amazed that she had 6 touchdowns this weekend because that's not like me. I'm not force feeding anybody the ball. But when I looked at it, she touched the ball 13 total times on the offense. 13. Out of 13 touches, she had 6 touchdowns. 3 by reception, and 3 by run. You know? Is that padding the stats? No. She had 191 yards on 7 catches. She had 122 yards on 6 runs. She had 2 kickoff returns for a total of 60 yards and a punt return for 45. So she accumulated like 413 yards or something like that. All together. Somebody do the math for me. Call me. Let me know. You know the number. 347-826-7278. Do the math. But anyway, I was very surprised when that took place. because it wasn't like I was giving her the ball every play. Like I said, she touched the ball 13 times in the game. 13. So, no, I don't see that as padding her stats or running up the stats. My whole thing is I'm going to take what the defense gives me. And she was just a hot receiver this game. A quarterback threw 26 times or 14 yards. I mean, 14 yards. 26 times, 14 completions for 295 yards, which is actually a Showgirl record in one game for the amount of yards. And threw for four touchdowns and one interception. That's what the defense was giving us. They were stacking the box, so we passed the ball. You want to stop us from passing the ball? Then get everybody out of the box so we can run the ball. Take your poison. You want us to beat you by the pass? You want to beat you by the run? Is it run at the stats? No. Again, we take what the defense gives us. We have multiple weapons, and at any given time, any one of those weapons, if you decide double-team 5, then we'll go to 29. If you double-team 29 and number 5, then we'll go to number 16. You know, if you want to double-team all the receivers and just leave 3 in the box, then we're going to run 4. We're going to run number 32. We're going to run number 2. We're going to run 40. Again, that's called chess. And when you getting big plays and picking them apart, it's called checkmate. That's what we're doing. But again, I go back to the topic. That was just my example. But, you know, like I said, I get emails, I get phone calls. Hey, coach, do you think it's cool to leave the first string in when you're up 50 to nothing and it's only halftime? No, I don't think that's cool. I think that's padding stats. You know, are you running the same play or are you running trick plays and stuff like that? That's something different. You know, but again, that's just me. That's my humble opinion. You know, you do what you do. It's football. You only got 8 games, you know. And every girl out there want to continue to play. They don't want to be in a blowout. I think the first string get more bored with the blowout than anybody because they know, guess what, I'm coming out the game soon. I'm hoping other teams score, you know. It's crazy like that. I know when I played football and we started blowing people out, I was pissed off because I'm like, man, I didn't get a chance to intercept the ball because guess what's going to happen when the first string come out? They start throwing the ball when you're defensive back. They start throwing the ball. And then your second string DBs are getting more interceptions than the starting DBs. And you're like, man, I'm not going to make an all-star because my second string DB or corner or safety got more interceptions than me. Then it becomes an individual thing, trying to get those doggone stats. Okay? But as coaches, hey, you know, if you want to be known as a running team and that's what you do and you do what's best, you just continue to do it. But could other running backs get an opportunity? I think I heard BJ say this before. He was at a blowout game and saw a particular game. I don't want to call out nobody. But they kept their starters in, and I think she had mentioned that she wished that this particular team would have rotated more running backs in. You know, and I'm pretty sure that happens on other teams. You know, if you got the game at hand, then give others a chance. But then the flip side of that, yo, is it just happened this weekend with the Amazon. I'm pretty sure they thought they had the game locked down with 4 minutes, 5 minutes, however many minutes it was going in the fourth quarter, and they up by 22-6. And I bet you they decided they put their whole second team in or something to that nature. And then all of a sudden, what happened? They lose 33-22. Amazing comeback for the Bandits. But I'm just saying, where do you draw the line, Coach Lee? You know, like I said, I don't think a team is going to come back on me if I'm up by 4 touchdowns. I'm sorry. If they do, I must be a sorry coach. That's just me, okay? And that's no disrespect to anybody out there. I'm just telling you my mentality. Once I get up 4 touchdowns, I'm already taking the foot off the gas pedal. I'm still pushing with plays, but I'm putting the other people in there, giving them the opportunity, because when it comes down to crunch time, when it comes down to a real, real tight game, that person might not get off the bench. So I'm trying to keep everybody happy. And like I tell my girls, you know, it's hard to keep 40 women happy, you know. No, how did I say it? It's hard to keep one woman happy, being my wife, let alone 40 of you women out here, you know. So again, deal with it, handle it, with pad and stats. The other thing is this, there's some coaches that don't know how to take stats. There's, you know, amazing a number of tackles for people. There's an amazing amount of rushing yards for people. There's an amazing amount of sacks, tackles for loss, interceptions, receptions. I mean, everything is supposed to be on the honor system. And I really think that those who are taking stats should try to be as honest as possible. You know, I'm just saying, stay within the integrity of the game. You know, don't elaborate or not elaborate. What's the word I want to say? Another word for lying. Fabricate. There we go. Don't fabricate the stats to make you look good. There's no way in the world you can lose 100-0 and have 250 yards rushing as a losing team. It's impossible. It's impossible. There's no way that a team can rush for 250 yards and lose by 7, 8, 9 touchdowns. Because you got to remember, running the ball keeps the clock rolling. Running the ball is called ball control. You know, now if you throw the ball 50 times and you only completed 5 passes, it's possible because you probably threw 6 or 7 interceptions at least. Okay? But have some integrity. Have some respect to this game and don't pad your stats. So what, your player didn't make All-Star if it's based on stats? You got to keep this legit. It's like MC Hammer, too legit to quit. You know what I'm saying? You can't be up there talking about your middle linebacker made 40 tackles, but the other team only had the ball for 27 plays. How are you going to get 40 tackles on 27 plays? Also, there's some discrepancies with people when they do their stats and padding stats. You know, because you're around the ball, does that mean you are in on the tackle? You know, like I said, I'm going to tell you how I do it. Only 2 people can get a sack. It can't be 3 people. We don't count a third of the sack. We only count half a sack. So the first 2 people that are in on the tackle for the sack get the half a sack. Okay, that sounds legit. Okay, there's a thing called solo tackle. There's a thing called just tackles or assist tackles. There we go. An assist tackle counts as a whole tackle. Some people think, well, how many people were on there? 5? So that's 1/20th of a tackle or 1/5th of a tackle. You can't do that. It's either a full or a half. Okay? So when you do assist tackles, it counts as a whole tackle. It's just an assist. A solo tackle is a solo tackle. All right, Coach Lee, where are you going with this? So if I had 3 or 4 girls who came and converged on the tackle and they all took the girl down, they all would get an assisted tackle. Okay? Now, I can have 5 assist tackles and 3 solo tackles. I was in on how many? Here we go. I need somebody to calculate. 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 I was on 5 assist tackles and I made 3 solo tackles. How many tackles did I make? Or how many tackles was I in on? You were in on a total of 8. So you should go down on the record as having 8 tackles. 3 were solo tackles. That's when you want to narrow down the actual number of tackles. Okay? Another question came about with stats. Special teams. Do you count special teams as tackles? Yes. They are part of the game. Again, they're either solo tackles or they're assist tackles. It don't matter. It's all one total number anyway. You just define them as they had 3 solo tackles and 5 assists for a total of 8 tackles. The defense is built that way. It's built that way. How many tackles were you in on? Not how many tackles you actually made. And that's where some of the confusion is. So some people do stats different. But that is how the statisticians do stats, okay, from the pros to the college to the high school, okay? That is how it's done. Could 11 people be in on one tackle? Not necessarily. You can have 11 hats to the ball, but you're not going to have 11 people on a tackle. I go no more than four people on a possible tackle. There's only four limbs, two arms and two legs in a body. So this is possibly five pieces of a body that you can actually tackle at one time legitimately. So the most that that can be in on a particular tackle would be five people. Okay? And that's just common sense, whether I was told by my grandma. There's no such thing as common sense, because if it was, we'd all be dressing, looking, and talking the same. Again, remember that. That's from grandma. All right? So, again, that's how that works. You know, interceptions are interceptions. You catch the ball, and the ball turned over, you get it. A forced fumble is somebody who strips the ball out. You get credit for that. Can you get a sack, a solo tackle, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery all in the same play? Yes, I just described it. I'm running in, outside linebacker, I sack the quarterback. That's a solo tackle, so you should be marking solo tackle and sack, okay? Because one of those solo tackles was a what? A sack, you guys. You don't add, that's not a total of three different tackles. That's all one tackle. But I've seen stats where they marked that down like three times. Now, did they force the fumble? Yes, by the hit. Did they recover the ball? Yes, they did. So in their stats, it should be Deion Lee. One tackle, one sack, one forced fumble, one fumble recovery, and if you add in tackles for a loss, it should include in that as well, because you sacked the quarterback for a loss. But it still equals one tackle, no matter how many ones you just told me just now. It still equals as one tackle, but it has different categories of what type of tackle that was. And I think that was one of the biggest things. Rushing yard, passing yard, okay? Now, a quarterback gets sacked. Did you know that there's two rules to that one? In high school and in college, those totals are subtracted from the rushing yards. In professional football, they're subtracted. And I might not be clear on this one. I should look this one up, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. They're subtracted from your passing yards. But I just keep it simple. A sack is just, you just take those 5 or 7 yards off of the what? Off the rushing yard. Because they didn't throw the ball. The quarterback still has the ball, but it doesn't sound like it should be a passing deficit. It should be a rushing, because you still can run the ball. Okay? The other thing is, you know, it's simple. If a player went 5 yards, you mark down 5 yards on that carry. If they went 7 yards, they went 7 yards. Okay, they lose 3 yards, it's minus 3 yards. Now, here's the discretion that some people have an issue with. I just ran 20 yards, got the first down, and I got a face mask pulled against me as a running back. I've seen some teams add the 15-yard penalty onto the rushing stats. That's not how it goes. Penalties go under game yardage, or team yardage. Give you an example. The Showgirls, we give up more yards in penalties than we do on defense. We average 11 penalties per game for 120 yards. That's what the other team, that's a team stat that goes to the team. They didn't earn it. They were given that 120 yards. Okay? So you don't add on. The same thing if I ran the ball and I went for 20 yards and my wide receiver push somebody in the back right where I went out of bounds at, and the flag went up, and they mark off 10 yards back the other way. The running back got one carry for now how many yards? 10, because that's where people get confused, because it's the net yardage that you are calculating, not the gross yardage. It's the net. It's the net. Okay? Well, Coach, what if they ran the ball and the ball, it was a holding penalty that was called behind the line of scrimmage? Well, guess what? It's still first down. It's first down and 20. That does not count against the running back. Only positive yards count towards rushing. Like I said, if you go 20 yards and you got a clipping or a holding and it goes back 15 yards, that running back now just carried the ball one time for 5 yards. It's the net yardage, not the gross yardage. Same thing with catching the ball as a wide receiver. you get the yardage from the line of scrimmage, and some people aren't adding that up right. Once the quarterback throws the ball, it's how many yards from where the ball ends up from the regular line of scrimmage that that person got yards. Now, everybody's like, well, what's yak yards? Yard after catch. That means if I caught the ball at 10 yards and then I ran another 15 yards, it still totals out to 25 yards. But there's another category. If you got a statistician that's real good, they're going to say yak yards. They caught it at 10, so it'll be 25 for total yards and then 15 for yak. Is that 40 yards together? No. That just means they're adding up the yards after catch. Okay? Now, here's another trick question that's been asked of me. Coach, what if they throw the ball down the field and a guy or a girl catches the ball, runs 60 yards, and then pitches the ball to another person who ran 5 yards? How does that count? It will be a catch by the receiver, and once they pitch the ball, the total yards from the line of scrimmage goes to the other person. So a hook and lateral play. And that's actually a tricky question. I'm not in front of my computer right now to really verify that. But if I was doing stats, it goes down as I threw the ball to BJ, and BJ pitched me the ball 20 yards down the field, and I ran the other 40 yards. I just scored a 60-yard touchdown. But I believe the catch goes to BJ, and I want to say that it might be a fumble recovery for 60 yards. It's called a lateral, but I am not quite sure, 100% sure on that one. But again, these are things that we have to look up. These are things that we got to know. These are the things that we got to shake and bake on. Okay? I'm going to head back to my office real quick. I don't know what time it is. But BJ, is there anybody on the line? I'm not in front of the computer. I'll give it a second or two because the wind is blowing here. But again, you're rocking four quarters of the post. We're here each and every Sunday on Blog Talk Radio. And this is what we do. We talk about women's football. We talk about some of the ins and outs, some great things, and some things that don't make sense. And right now, a lot of people don't have stats up because, one, they don't know what they're doing, and two, some stats are kind of fudged over a little bit. You know, I hate to say it, but it gets like that sometimes. Again, I think it's done out of self, but it's just because they want certain players to make all-stars and stuff like that. Like I said, I keep it legit, you know. I go over stats. Anybody want to test my stats, they can just go to the films. You know, films don't lie. That's another slogan that I talk about in practice with the girls. Films don't lie. So that's where we at. That's what's going down. I am walking through right now to see if I'm all to the good. Whew, I didn't know it was a quarter till. Time flies when you're having fun, and we ain't even made halftime yet. But anyway, that's where we at. All right? So I'm going to end it with that. Padding stats, running up stats, you know, do what you do. You know, if you want to make a superstar of somebody, that's great. You know, that's what coaches do to get more players. But I tell you what, it's a hell of a lot easier for me as a coach to have more people in on stats than it is to highlight and showcase one person. It makes practice a lot easier. It makes the games a lot easier. Again, it's hard to satisfy one woman, let alone 40. So, you know, my thing is I try to do the best that I can. All right? But anyway, let's move on. Quarter number two. Oh, no, my bad. See, I've been off the long. We in quarter number three. Sorry about that, but quarter number three. Zeros, yo. Zeros. We 7-8 weeks into the season, and we still got teams throwing up zero. I'm just going to tell it like it is. That's some bad coaching going on. There is no way in the world. No way in the world would a coach go scoreless 7, 8, 9, 10 games in a row. That's coaching. That is definitely coaching. You know, I'm not going to blame that on the players. That is coaching. That is bad situations. That is bad situations. It's no way in the world should a team be going 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games in the season and go in 0 out. I'm pretty sure there's been some situations out there that you can get a score. Come on, coaches. Stop going for it on 4th and 20 and then punting the ball on 4th and 3. I've seen that happen so many times on film, I just laugh sometimes. I'm like, well, that's like playing blackjack. You hitting, the dealer's showing the 6, and you got 13, and you're going to hit. Then the dealer's showing the 10, and you got 14, and you're going to stay. I talk that way because I'm in Vegas, and I hit the blackjack tables quite often. But I just want to look over to that person and say, what are you doing? Same thing when I watch films. What are you doing, coaches? That's a coach's thing, you know. And I feel bad for those players, you know. But also players, listen to me. It's a lot easier to play defense. If you look throughout football, those who don't have that much intelligence tend to play on the defense. It's a stereotype, but that's just how it is. But, ladies, you got to understand. You just can't get out there without coming to practice. I already talked about that earlier. And then you get out on the football field and think that you can put this together and drive down the field and score? It takes all 11 of you guys to make that play work. You don't see a play work to perfection with only 6 people doing their job. It takes all 11. It takes T-I-M-E to put together an offense. You're talking to them. You're listening to them. Trust me. I scored, you know, our second game of the year. Matter of fact, we went overtime with the Amazon. I know he hate when I say that, but yeah. But my thing is this. It takes time to operate an offense. Defense is easy. You just get 11 bodies out there and say, hey, go get the ball. But offense, it takes everybody making the right steps, making the right blocks, making the right cuts, getting the ball. Hiking the ball, right? You know, taking your steps, handed. I mean, it's a lot of things to it. It takes time for offense. And I think a lot of you ladies out there are not patient and understanding from a coach's perspective how much time it takes to put in an offense and to perfect an offense. Again, this is our 5th season. And I've had the same starting quarterback. This is her 4th season started. Trust me, her first season, ooh-wee. We were struggling, but we found ways to score. But what I'm saying is we weren't consistent. And now, because we got a core of girls that's been with us, our receivers and running backs have been with me for 2, 3, 4 years, you know, our line ain't super tight yet. Because, again, I tell this to everybody, I have not had the same starting line in not one back-to-back game in 5 years due to injuries, due to quitting, due to whatever. And that's where you got to be consistent at. If you want to be a good team, trust me, those teams that won championships, find out how many years those linemen have been playing together. That's true championship teams. Everybody got athletes. But a true championship team, it starts with the big uglies up front. But a lot of you guys are impatient and blaming coaches out there. Talking about they don't know what they're doing. And I kind of agree with you in some cases. You do got some PlayStation coaches that play Madden and come out there and drawing up plays and thinking y'all can do that. It got to be taught. But it takes an offense a hell of a lot longer to get on the same page than it does a defense. Again, I can grab any 11 girls, any 11 bodies, and put together a solid defense. But you just can't grab 11 bodies and put them on offense and think it's going to work. Like I tell all my players, I said, the most valuable people on the football team is offensive line. You can have the best quarterback, but if she ain't getting no blocking, she ain't gonna be able to see she'll be looking up at the lights because he's gonna be on her back all night. You can have the best running back that runs fast and everything. You can pitch her the ball right and left, but if she ain't got no lineman, she's gonna have negative yards every play. You can have the best wide receivers in the world that run the fastest pass patterns and got the best hands. But if you ain't got no line, if the line can't hold up and block, the quarterback can never get the ball in their hands. So it takes time to develop an offense. It takes time for you to believe it. It takes time for you, as a coach, to develop their philosophy. You know, some coaches are simple-minded and don't want to teach you guys the game of football and say, you know what, let's get foot-to-foot, and we're going to go 3 yards and cloud of dust offense. That's boring. 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 But that's the simplest thing to do if you want to be simple-minded. If you come in here to learn football, it goes back to the first subject that we talked about, practice. Bring your tailbone to practice. If you don't, we can't teach. You can get away with that with defense because, again, line up over this person and go A gap or B gap. That's how simple it is. I'm going to tell you right off the bat. My defense is so simple, I don't even have to call the defense. The reason why is because everybody has a gap. I'm telling them which way to go. Either they're going gap to the right or gap left. Nobody's two gapping, nobody's reading. Linebackers are coming. Everybody's coming. Everybody responds for a gap. I don't even have to have the best athletes out there. If everybody does their job, there's nowhere to run. If everybody does their job, there's nowhere to pass. Everybody just got to do their job. That's it. Offense, a whole nother situation. I would say if I was to break up practice in 100%, I would say 40% of practice is offense. I would say that 20% is defense. I would say another 30% would be special teams. And the other, whatever's remaining, you do the math. I think it's 10% or 15%, somewhere around here, is individual work. That's how practice is broken up in. No matter where you go, you will find that offense get majority of the snap, majority of the attention. Because it takes a lot of time to perfect an offense to do what you do well. If you run spread option, it takes time. If you run ISO or if you run a stretch zone, if you're a passing team, trust me, that's what you work on. And guess what you tend to be best on defense? Based on your offense and what you emphasize on is what you tend to be better on defense. You know, I think it's kind of a flip reversal for us. I think we're better run-stopping defense. There's ways to beat me, but I ain't going to tell it. But I really feel that we're just as effective run-stopping as we are pass-stopping, even though we've probably practiced I'll say, 60% of our offense is in the air, passing the ball. So my DBs are used to backpedaling. They're used to turning the hips. They're used to going into the ball at the high point because that's what we practice. Again, going back to the first topic, you practice how you play. You play like you practice. You might hear that from your coach either before or after the game, especially after a loss. I can guarantee you, I'll say 90% of all the coaches always talk about it. It goes back to what, ladies? Practice. I sound like Iverson again. Practice. We just talking about practice. Practice? We talking about practice. You got to get your butt to practice. So, again, no zeros on the board. It takes time for an offense to develop, but a good coach got to find an offense that's going to move the ball down the field with the athletes that they have. You know, some people ask me, well, coach, I don't know what type of athletes I'm going to have, so I have to wait till they get there before I'm able to put in the offense. And I say bullcrap to that because I'm going to teach what I know, and then I'm going to go out and recruit to what I teach. So if I want to be a high-flying, air-the-ball-out type of offense, I'm not going, I'm trying to use a sport to relate to. But if anybody's playing sports, it's all good to me, especially in women's sports. You know, but I'm going to go out and recruit basketball players. I'm going to go out and recruit track athletes, and I'm going to teach them how to catch. I'm going to teach them how to run pass patterns. Because I know once I get the ball in their hand, you can't teach speed. So that's the type of athletes that I go out and recruit. that's where I go. You know, if I had coaches and I had owners ask me, what do you do? I go to the local colleges. I talk to the coaches on the volleyball team, the track team, the softball team, the rugby team, the tennis team, the golf team. I just want athletes. I ask them for their alumni list. They might not give it to me, but guess what? I send them a message, and then they'll send it out to their alumni and see if they're still in town. You know? The bottom line is you got to go out and recruit, you know? And I know I'm going to get knocked on this one, but I had a couple of teams come to me and say, I asked them where they go recruit. And they honestly told me. They said, Coach, we go to the bars. We go to the bars and recruit girls. I'm like, why? And I'm trying to tell you. They said, because that's where the rough ladies are at. I'm like, are you sure? That's not what you want. Just because you look rough don't mean that you're tough. I say it again. Just because you look rough don't mean that you're tough. Okay? The bottom line is this. You got to go out and recruit athletes. You want to legitimize football? You got to go recruit athletes. You know, that's why I love this sport, because you can get women of all shapes, sizes, heights, whatever, and you can fit them into football. Unlike basketball, you got some girls who are just too big to play some basketball, even though I like those twins that came from Oklahoma. Those be some good D tackles that play in the WNBA. But those aren't the exceptions. Big girls that can move. Okay? But you got to get out there and recruit athletes. You know, I go out to the track team, and I'm looking for the weight throwers. Why? Because they got quick feet. They throw the disc. Do you know how many times they spin around and have to move their feet? And they know the difference between leverage, because they got to move their body into a point where they can throw that disc out there or their weight or whatever. You got to go out and recruit. That'll keep them doggone zeros off the board, coaches. But if you can't move the ball, then you might need to hang up your hat. Because, again, I think the ultimate challenge for us as coaches in women's football is teaching. And if you can't teach, then you can't coach. If you can't teach, you can't coach. And I ain't talking about just getting out there and having all-star players and say, oh, I coach football or I coach these all-stars. I'm talking about coaching the novice. I'm talking about coaching somebody who's never played the game. An opportunity to come out there and see improvement. And that's one thing I get on my line coach about. If I ain't seen improvement, I'm moving you out the way. I'm stepping on your toes, and this isn't how it's going to be done. Because we got to have improvement. Woo! Is it the 8 o'clock hour already? I didn't even get to the fourth quarter, but you know what? I ain't worried about it, because it's always time. There's always room. There's always situations that Coach Lee would definitely have to talk about. I'm loving you guys. I'm looking on the Ning board, and I see a few of you guys out there. I want to say, what's up, Lone Star Mustang? I want to say, what's up, Sports Geek? I want to say, what's up, Coach Cover? You know what I'm saying? I refuse to lose. And I'm going to get wicked when I'm on a football field. And that's the attitude that not only do I have, that I have developed into my football players. My football players have the same attitude I have. You can't beat me. You can't beat me. You will never beat me. That's why we're winning. We're taking on the winning attitude. We're taking on the hard work attitude. And we're going out there recruiting. Again, just because you look rough don't mean that you're tough. You know what I'm saying? It don't mean a thing if you ain't got that teaching swing. So anyway, I'm about to get up out of here. I got to drive home. I got to go watch my Lakers do their thing. They whooped up on the Utah Jazz last series, and now they're going to jump down. Who we got? The Suns? We're going to take them out just like we did. I said in 5. You know what? It's going down like that. Could you rock it for a quarter, Coach Lee? I am out of here.
Peace.